no one comes on, it's recorded everywhere.
But the document in between, not here enough.
Yeah.
I almost said it, which was, it may have to mean that it's whether you say it before Shabbos for on Shabbos or on Shabbos for after.
Then it doesn't matter when you told them.
On Shabbos for after Shabbos, who cares? They're your shliach after Shabbos. Whereas if it's Davar Dabar, you're saying the words on Shabbos. And vice versa, if you say before
correct. Shabbos. So shlichas, when he does it for you.
Shabbos, like, what do you call it? Shlichas, they're doing this on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Problem.
I hope we're on live over here on YouTube. That was a big help.
A big help in terms of you saying accessibility.
Yeah.
Because that's also meant loaded it with a period. Loaded up right away.
Wow. Good morning.
Good morning, Chavra.
I'm heading. All right. Another minute. All right, that's the final button. Oh, error. Here we go. Second. Plug. Guys, you need another second over here. The final machine. Gonna pay for this minute at the end. No. Okay, let's just start. God willing, this will go on in a moment. I'm not on the Chabad.org. Okay, let's just go. Good morning. With the help of Hashem, we are learning today's three Prakim Rambam, Hilchei Shabbos, Prakim Tes, Yud, and Yud Aleph. In Perek Zayin, the Rambam enumerated all of the Lamed Tes Melachos. In Perek Ches, we went through the first 10. Perek Tes will go through the subsequent, the following 10. We're going to be learning the details of Afia, Geziza, Libun, Niputz, Tzivia, Tevia, Asiyas, Hanidin, Hanasachas, Masecha, Ariga, and the final one, which is the unweaving of the fabric, the Betzia. Perek Tes has 20 halachas. Let us start with halacha Aleph, says the Rambam. Ho'oife kegroigeres. Right, so Afia, we already mentioned Be'emes in the preparation in Melachas HaMishkan, there was Bishul when they would prepare the dyes. Matana Sidura the Pasnagat, and Bishul and Afia is the same thing. So let's go through Afia, the same concept of food, that there has to be a minimum amount, something that is chashiv for you to eat, and that's going to be the amount of a dried fig. Echad ha'efes ha'pas, the echad ha'mavashu ha'samaychol, oy es ha'meman, oy ha'machamem es ha'mayim, heating up water. Hakol inyan echadu. Inyan echad means it's the same isur, but with different shiurim. Shira machamem es hamayim. There, you're not eating. So what's the minimum amount? Kadei lirchoitz bohen eber katan. The amount necessary to wash a small limb. And the shir mevashal samemanim. Kadei shiyu ru'uyim ledavar shemevashalin oisamay. It's very subjective. It depends what dye for what purpose. And there isn't a one shir for all of the samemanim. Unlike when it comes to oichel, Dear, there is the shir of the gregeres halacha beis. Hamitzim beitza mitzad hamecham b'shul shatiz galgal. So I know that someone mentioned this yesterday. We already spoke out that nidoi raisa bishul means through fire. What about if you're going to be cooking an egg by using hot water? So the example he gives here is you put an egg near the mecham in order for it to become shatiz galgal. Just technically, we know that when the egg is raw, how do you know if an egg is raw or not? When you turn it, if it doesn't turn, it means it's raw. Once it's cooked, you know that thing, you turn it and it turns, that's called shetiz galgal. Shetiz galgal is the way Chazal spoke about an egg being cooked or cooked sufficiently. They call this a soft boiled egg where you can eat it. Envin is galgalo chayav. And what's the chiddish? The chiddish is that you did not cook this egg. Yesterday we spoke about roasting it on fire. Here you didn't put it on the fire, you put it water, but the water was heated by fire. Shalavashul told us, oh, come avashul, it's the same thing. So you had certain fishes that they were salt, they were salted for a long time, for a year, and all you need to do to make it ready to be eaten is to rinse it off with hot water. That's a very relatively insignificant act, but this is the final act that makes it edible. Oikulyas or aspinin or a certain type of a Spanish fish, budag dak. Which all it needs for it to become edible is it being rinsed with hot water. Here also, again, hot water is cooking it. And what's extremely important is that you cannot eat it prior to this act. That would be a big nafkamina. And here, this even just rinse makes it edible, even though it's not fire, but it's with water that was heated with fire. And b'meila, you're going to be chayev b'chatas. Chozak ha'yir to them. Halacha gimel. Hamafkias ha'beitza b'beged cham. Here we're already speaking about preparing an egg without something that comes from fire. So you have a garment that's very hot because you're in the desert. The sun heated up the garment and people would break open an egg. Can you imagine? Over a warm garment. So your shirt, you understand, is doing the cooking. Oy b'choil. Or you're frying an egg on the sand. Oy ba'avak derachim. On the dust of the roads. And all of the above, she'ein chamin mepnei ha'shemesh, afa pishen itself, even though that you mamish fry the egg, you're going to be potter, it means potter avalosa. Midoraisi not chay. She told us chamo, ain't it told us aish. Even though you're not allowed to do it. Avru gozru alei mepnei toldois ho'ud. Chayin ha'mavashu b'cham etveria, even though there is a sheet in the Gemara that cham etver is being heated up with the fires of Gehenna, but we don't go that way. We don't consider this to be toldois of fire, and therefore, you're also going to be it's patur aval asur. The chayizim and patur. Hamavashel ala ur davar shahaya mevushal kol tzarechai. What happens if something was already mevushal kol tzarechai? Now, some rishonim in the sugya, like the Rashba, says if it's already mevushal, kemaychul ben derusoy. That we'll mention in a moment. Shitas Rambam is half cooked. Here, now the Rambam says if something was fully cooked, oy davar she'ein tzarech bishul klal. That's what we spoke about before, unlike that Spanish fish that needs to be, without that little amount of rinsing, without water, you can't eat it. If something does not need to be cooked, l'shita sanambam, ein bishul, achar bishul, it's also midrabanan, but you're potter from a chat. Halacha dalet. Okay. The Kesef Mishnah is going to explain halacha dalet, that all of the various steps that are being taken to cook one item were done mamish at the same time. So he explains halacha dalet. Echad nasa nasur. Someone brings fire. And at the same time, someone brought wood. And at the same time, someone is bringing a pot. At the same time, someone is putting water in the pot. Guys, this is all happening simultaneously. The echad nasa nasabas. And someone is putting the meat in the water in the pot. And someone is putting the spices in the pot. And someone is stirring the pot. You understand? All of them did it at the same time. Kulam chayavim b'shul mevashel. Shekol ha'oisa davar mitzor chayavishul areizam mevashel. Guys, what did Nimon Shnaim Shasu are two people doing the same thing? Here there's like a paradox. They're all doing bishul, but everyone is doing another different part of the bishul process. Since it's not at the same time, the Rambam says, everyone is chayav. But what happens if one did it after the other? So you're going to see until when the fire was placed under the pot, then no one did bishul yet. If someone just put down a pot, someone put water in the pot, someone then put meat in the pot, someone put spices in the pot, someone brought fire. Guys, the nasan asa'ur means it wasn't lit yet. It just brought the fire. And now we begin. And someone now puts the fuel over the fire. Now the fire is catching. And at the same time as the fire is being placed under the pot, or it's catching under the pot, someone is stirring the pot. Only the last two are going to be chayiv because of mevashal. Halacha 5, if someone places meat over coals, if it got roasted, again, amount of a gregeres, even if they're not roasted in the same location, but in this meat, a little bit here, a little bit there, and it's some totals to the gregeres in your chayiv. But if you didn't have that roasted, but it was partially made, this is Shita Sorambam, who understands that Michael Ben Rusoi is not a third, but it's a half. Or in Nisbashal Chatzi Bishul Mitzad Echad Chayiv. Then you Chayiv. So interestingly, you hear the chap over here? If you're having it fully roasted, gregeres. If you only brought it to the place of Michael Ben Rusoi, Paskins the Rambam, it's not enough, a gregeres of Michael Ben Rusoi. You have to have that whole piece of meat roasted, Michael Ben Rusoi. And even if one half, which is what happens when you put something on a barbecue, you know, which half is facing the fire. If half was cooked, Michael Ben Rusoi on one side, no, then when you turn it over, Patur Acha Yahapich Boy, Vizbashel, Chatzi Bishul Mishnei Tzedolav, and then you're going to be Chayiv Chatos. So that's an interesting nuance.
So if it's fully
gregeres,
then you can add up the different parts of it.
And all you need is a gregeres. And if it's Kamaichel Ben Rusoi, then what you put has to be Kamaichel Ben Rusoi. Yeah. Shachach, Vehid Beik Pas Betano, Vaiter and Aloch, hey, if you forgot and you left, and you actually attach the loaf into the oven on Shabbos. Now, when are you Chayiv? You're only Chayiv when it's going to crust. So take it down. Take it down prior to you violating. Now, guys, we're going to learn a whole Perek about the Diyas HaFas. In this case, you take it down before you come to violate a biblical malacha. What the Rambam is really saying in between the lines is that the one who placed it in there should be the one taking it down. But another individual should not say, I'm going to violate the Isuri Derabanan of removing the bread, because my friend is going to be violating an Isur Doiraisa. That's the whole concept of Ein Adam Chaitem Kedei She'iskar Chavera. We don't allow for that to happen. The one who put it should be the one taking it down. Halacha 6. Hamatich Echon Memine Matchois Kolshu. Someone is melting. You're melting a metal. Vayamachama Mesa Mateches, or you are heating up a piece of metal until it becomes hot like a coal. Hareza told us Mavashal. This is told us Mavashal. That's a great example. You understand, it's not the same thing. You're doing the same pu'ula, but it's not the same matana. The matana of Bishal and was to prepare the dye. Here we're speaking about metal, melting metal, using metal as a coal. The chenim amasi says adoinag. If a person is going to melt wax, or if you're going to melt tallow, if you're going to melt a tar, if you're going to melt pitch, etc. All of this is a tolda of mevashel. And there's another chiddush here, if you remember in the sugya, because many of these items that you melt will automatically get hard, but you melt wax. Because when you make food, that's it. You can't go back to raw. These items, you didn't act, and it will automatically go back to the way it was. Doesn't matter. So you're cooking a earthenware utensil, making it into a proper cheres, clay cheres, chayev, mishum, mevashal, kol, shadavar. Point is, whether shedipa, guf, kasha, ve'esh, whether something became softened because he brought it into fire, right? Which is what happens with most foods other than the egg, I think, right? You put it in there, it gets softened. Or, oy, shehiksha, guf, rach, but it was done through either fire or, like we mentioned, water or something else that was seeded from fire, then you're chayiv mishum avashim. Moving on to the next melacha, that was afia bishum. Now it's gaziza. Shearing wool. Hagoizes tzemer oisev. If a person shears wool, or here, beimin mebehema, whether it's from a domesticated animal, or beimin chaya, whether the animal is chay alive, beimin ames, whether the animal is dead. Afilu min hashelach shalohem, animal is dead, shmuli, and you skin the animal. And after, which is also prohibited, but after skinning the animal, you are removing the hair from the hide. That's good. That's bona fide goizus. Chayiv. Now, what's the shear? Kidei litvois memenu chut she'ar koi kereichav asit kofel. In order for you to be able to weave or to spin a thread that will have the length of a double sit. So guys, these are the shiuri Torah. An amma, whenever you speak about an amma, just to make it over here, an amma is from the tip of your middle finger until the elbow. That's an amma. Now, a zeres is when you open up your hand from the tip of your pinky to your tip of your thumb. This is the zeres, and two zeresin make up one amma. Sit is when you open up the thumb and the index finger, and the space between the tip of your index finger and the thumb. These are shiurim that we use. So double the length of a sit. That's how much thread that if you spun that, you're going to be chayiv min atoyim. The kama roichav kesit, how long is the roichav sit? Kidei limtoyach min boyan shol yad ado etzvah reshoin. And when you open up your thumb and your finger, between the thumb and the finger, when you open it up with all of your koyach. Now the Rambam, like we have in the Gemara, Milsa Agav Urcha Kamash Milan, we don't have it that much with the Rambam, but the Rambam is going to actually be referring to this year using different terms, just to let us know many different terms that I used for the same shear. Now, how much is a double sit? It's near 2/3 of a zeres, which we just spent out. So this is your zeres. So this,
like this,
the zeres is between this and this. A sit is around 2/3 of it, but it's a sit kafla. Now we're going to learn this same shear later and how many tvachim, but at least you have different words for the same shear. Now, similarly, if you pluck out a wing from a bird, that's also considered geizer. We consider the wing has like a hair in this context. So you did geziza, you were shearing the bird. In the Beis HaMikdash, the women who knew how to make the big take one of the Gemara tells us they did something very unusual, and that is that they were spinning the wool while it was on the back of the living animals, and the process of spinning the wool is what removed it. Even though they knew how to do it, and there's an upside for doing it, it's something very unusual, and that's not the way we define weaving, spinning, even though normally, how do you define the malachas? Copying the things that were done by malachas HaMishkan. This nuance is dafka not copy. If you're toive semen achai, you're potter. Why? Because ain't that a kaziza bekach. And here the Rambam adds, the ain't derech niputz bekach. That's not the ordinary marry that you do the beating, which they also did on the backs of the animal. The ain't derech tviel, which is an ayah from the Rambam, that the Rambam felt that all of these steps happened while they were weaving it, and it also did geziza. That means that it's not, there's a whole machlekes, did they pasha do these steps on the animal and then did they share it? The Rambam understands that when they prepared the garments while it was still on the animals, somehow that process itself shore it off the animal. So there was an act of geziza, but since in darko bekach, if we do this now, even though it was done by malachas HaMishkan, not over here. Very good. Very good. Yes. Okay.
So it's considered like a shinoi.
It's considered the shinoi, and that's the rule, guys. Any of the malachas, if they are done shaloi kedarkoi, a rule, it's no longer an iso d'oraisa, it becomes also the rabbanan. That's the pattern. Okay, halachiches hanoytel tziparnov. This is all part of geziza. If a person is cutting one's nails, or if a person is cutting one's hair, if a person is cutting one's mustache, if a person is cutting one's beard, all of that is told as geizas and you're chayiv. For who? When are you chayiv? If you do it kedarkoi, which means with the keli. But if you removed all of the above with your fingers, whether you did it for yourself, whether you did it for someone else, you're going to be potter. If a person cut off a wart from his body, whether he did it with his hand or with a keli, even with a keli, you're potter. You understand? It's potter mitam goises, but it's already yayabelos. Now you have to understand that in the Beis HaMikdash, certain blemishes invalidated the animal permanently, and certain blemishes are called a mum oivet, and only when the animal had that blemish was it not allowed to be used, including an animal that had a wart. So on the Beis HaMikdash, they would remove warts. So umuter lachtoich yabelas b'mikdash biyad. Everything fits. Why is that? Remember the rule, there's a gent with exceptions. The rule is ein shvus b'mikdash. So now that we established that taka, removing a wart is a tulda of removing hair. But it's, removing a wart is a rabbinic, it's a rabbinic of removing a hair. It's not a tulba. And therefore, even if you do it bekeli, right, you're going to be putter. Here he's saying that in the mikdash, you can lachatchila do it biyad avoloi bekeil. Because that act of removal is of greater significance. That's why don't do it with the keil. Like this, you make sure it's only a drabanan and ancient was on mikdash. Imo yisi yevesho, however, if it's completely dried out, then choytcha af bekli and va'oived. Very good. Then the chiddush of oived is that even though you removed it on Shabbos, let's say, which means bein hashmashes, the animal had a mum oived, since a dried wart is considered so insignificant that when you remove it, we view it as if lemafreya it was removed. That's the pshat of, we view it now. Now that you removed it, it's as if bein hashmashes, it wasn't even there. That's the chapir. Halacha tes. Hanoitel so'oroi. Hanoitel so'oroi bekeli. If a person removes hair using a keli, which is goizis, what's the minimum amount? Kama yitl v'yachayef. The answer is two hairs. However, if there is a person that is particular not to have any white hairs, and they even only removed one white hair from the black, since for you that's important, you don't want to have white hair. You don't even want to have one white hair. So here, even removing one is chayiv. Gevaldik. For you, it's chashuv. See, Pidin Shapeda Shruba, if a nail is already removed in its majority, so it's already considered removed, or tzitzin shel oid, or different strips of flesh. You know, a person gets a sunburn and then some of the skin, you know, is peeling off. And that strip is already peeled off in its majority. So I guess, im perishu klapa mailo, if it's going up, there's a big machlokes birambam, which direction means up. So whichever way it is. The point is that umitsaras oisoi, and it's afflicting you with pain. Since ruba is disconnected already, mutalit noisim biyoda, you can lechatchila take it off with candy cane, use a kale. If you took it off with a utensil, then you're potter. It means it's awesome. And then I bought it. But if it's not, if you're not in pain, afilu biyoda yosef. So you see, b'chlal, we're going to have certain scenarios where tzad is taken into account, especially when the problem is to begin with only midrabanan. Right here, it's going to be awesome midrabanan. The imlay perishrum. But if the roiv did not come off, even if they're putting you on plane, also little biyad. And if you took it off, and if you took it off with the keli, then you're chayiv. Because that's a bona fide tulda of goizis. Okay, halacha yud. Hamalabein esatzemen. If a person is whitening wool, or you're whitening linen, or you're whitening shani, means their wool that you're going to dye red needed to go through certain steps for it to become susceptible to the red dye. You did that step. All right, that's the new malacha now that we're learning libun. Then you're chayiv. That's bona fide libun. How much kamashi yurai, as we had before, if you whitened enough fiber from which, you understand, you can produce a thread that has the double size of a sit. And here the Rambam writes something that he didn't write before. In other words, you see from the Rambam, he wants to educate us. So he could have said four tefachim. Everyone knows what a tefach is. So you already have the rein. You have the sit kafel, you have a zeres, and which is also four tefachim.
Four tefachim is 2/3 of an am.
Yep. Yeah, because that's what it works. I'll tell you why it works out. Because he said that a sit is 2/3, a be'erech, 2/3 of a zeres. Two zeres in his one amma works. And so two sits is, yeah. There you go. Perfect. And he wrote kith, more or less. Halacha yudal. Hamachabes begodim, wandering clothing, is a tulda of malaban and yuchai. More than that, if you squeeze out a garment, in order for the water to be removed from it, right? That's called you wash the garment and you're chayiv. Just like steering is called bishul, squeezing. Now, guys, what's very important is that if you are removing not water, any other liquid from a solid, there Chazal used the word soichet, but that's connected to mafarik. Remember this. When is squeezing malabain? If it's mayim, because you launder with water. The ain't chit of a seyar, the Rambam paskins, there is no concept of squeezing water out of your hair. B'chlal, v'hu adin la'oir, or in leather, she'ein chayoven al chitosoy. In other words, the Rambam considers hair a davar kasha, that's not boileya, and that makes life a lot easy. Not everyone passes like the Rambam, but so she does the Rambam. Halacha Yud Beis, moving on to the next malacha, menapetz. Menapetz is the next step of the beating of the wool to make it ready. Or if you beat the linen, or if you beat the shani, Here again, if you beat enough fiber, which it will be the amount necessary to make a thread, here he doesn't even mention straight. All right. If you are beating sinews, because some people would make threads out of sinews, right, as they did to wool, could they lit for Ibrahim? So then you're chayif. But he's told us, it's for chayif with the same shit. Moving on to the next malach. The next malach is dying. Dying, not Baruch Dainem is dying. Dying as in, yeah, Tinturariya dying. Halacha Yud Gimel. Hatzvei Achut She'arkay Arba Tzvachim. Here again, if you dyed the thread that is that long, the same shear over here, the double sit, four tzvachim. Oidav She'ef Shalit V'simen Achut Ekezem, or fabric from which you can remove a thread that will have this length, you're going to be chayiv. The Ein Hatzvei Achayiv Ad She'yehet Seva Hamaskayim. You have to use a dye that will remain, that's permanent. Avol Seva She'ein Hamaskayim Klal, but if you have a dye that doesn't remain at all, for example, She'hevet Sarak, some sort of red clay, or shashad, vermilion. I think it's something very red on top of metal, and that it can be mamash rubbed off very easily, or on top of copper. And you taka gave it a dye, you gave it a color. You're going to be pata. Pata means it's awesome. The rabbanon. Shareyat amavir olashatoy. The ein otzveir klum. Chol she'ein malachim is kayemes. Now we're giving a big rule. Anything that's not permanent will already taken down from a biblical to a rabbinic violation. Halacha yudalid. What about making the dye? You're creating the color. That's called told this today of a chayiv. How great is that? Making the color will mean that Raman gives an example. If you have two different colors, but you mix them together, when you mix them together, what do? You're creating a third color. That's told this today. Okay, you put kankantois or kankantoim inside of me'afzo. Now, even though the Raman writes that everything becomes black, but it was one level of black, another shade of black, and now it's becoming black. Or if you put istis in front of mekarkoin, now you made everything yorik. Whether yorik means green, whether yorik means yellow, whether yorik by tchelis, we just had this in the chitas, yorik can mean blue. What you're making your color is chayiv chatos, because it's told us to the kama ushir, here again, enough dye, kedelin zboya by chut, she'arkoi arba'a tvachim. Halacha tezvav, moving on to the next malach of spinning. If you spin thread, same length, how much thread? Of any type of fiber that is used to make garments, chayiv. And that's whether you're using wool or you're making pishtan, or even if you're using hair, right? So people would use camel's hair, people would use goat's hair, people would use animal sinews. Today you would have polyesters and plastics and poisons, whatever you're using for this, that's the shear. That means you're gathering different residues of the wool and the linen, and you're putting it together. You understand? So you're making a chunk of fiber. That's told us toiva. Even though you're not spinning it, but that's what they would do with the remnants. So they would also use it somehow. They would incorporate it in garments. As long as you put together enough from which you can make the same amount of four tvachim. Next halach is ho'esa shtei batinirim. Now I just want to say that on COL, if you'll Google yeshiva, a weaving loom comes to yeshiva. If you Google that on COL, you're going to have a great video. I think it was by Rabbi Wagner, may he be well, over there in Toronto. And a person, if you see this machine, it's gavaldic. I'll do the best that I could to describe it. When you would weave, nothing changed. My father had a factory with big machines, but it's the same concept. You have to first set up warp threads. The warp threads are the threads that are going lo'oidach. And then you're going to put through them, it's called the woof threads or the weft threads, which is going from right to left. But you want to put it in a weaving manner. Now there are different patterns. So how do you get the thread going crosswise in and out with one movement instead of having to go in and out and in and out and in and out? So you would have two sticks. And before you would think about the crosswise thread, when you have just the lengthwise threads, every second one was put on a stick. So now everything first is aligned and then you separate every second one. And then the other one is put on another stick. So the two sticks are also going crosswise. And when you move in and out and in and out, what you're doing is that all of the strands that are going to the lanes, they're being manipulated, that sometimes it's like this, sometimes it's like that. And now all you need to do is you need to throw a thread through it. They would have different techniques from the olden days until modern ways, but you would throw a thread through it. And every time you throw a thread through it, so you would manipulate the two batinirna, these two sticks. And when you manipulate the strands, the threads that are going to down lanes, the warp threads are being manipulated by the two batinirim, and therefore the woof thread is just being thrown across it. I did the best I could to describe it. If you would see that little machinka, you have a clear picture in your head. So let's go. So when you make the two heddles, it's called a heddle. The heddle, you have to have both sticks set up because you cannot weave by just having one heddle. Both heddle means that every single second strand is on one, every other second strand is on the other. So every time you just move them back and forth, they would always move it. They would alternate. And all of that is just bringing the threads that are going length into a different position. And really, this is what happened. The threads are not aligned. The thread is like this, the thread is like that. They would have something called a shaft and they would throw it through. Okay. So setting up the two batinin and yachai. If you're making any type of a sifter, a strainer, a basket, a hairnet, right? Or if you are weaving ropes on a bed as they did then, upon which they would put the mattress, all of that is part of the weaving process. And that's a tolda of Oysen Eden. And Misha Yasu, Shnei Batim, Ke'echad, Mekol Evo Chayev. V'chein kol Oysen Shnei Batim, V'dover Shoysen Be'batim, Batim, Chayev. And it was Halacha Yud Zayin. Derech Ha'argim, the custom of people that do weaving, in other words, when we're speaking, the first step, the Rambam was going in the opposite, say that the Mishnah actually reverts the order. Now we're speaking about setting up the warp thread. Everything has to begin by you putting threads length. That's the ikar. And it has to be set up organized. You can't have any thread overlapping the other. And what they did is, they would stretch out the threads, going across the loom, going across the frame. Ushnai meichsim zemikan zemikan. The echot shevet b'shevet alachutim. After every strand was disentangled from the other, one person would hold the top one, one person would hold the bottom one. They would stretch it. And someone would come and bang on it to make sure every single one is properly separated. So that is a melacha. So he says, so actually the masecha, the way we explained, is a step that happens before you're making the batinir. By the way, in the Mishnah, if I'm not mistaken, and dafayim gimel on Shabbos, that's the seder, the masecha and the batinir. The one who's stretching it out is called the mesach. And now, when you're throwing of the shuttle, first you did this step. Then you would make the batinir. And then once you have the setup where the strands that are going lengthwise are going in and out and in and out, every second one alternating, now they would have the shuttle. The shuttle would simply bring the thread across. And that one who threw the thread across, that's the act of weaving, because that's when the weaving is happening, because that thread is really going in and out.
So setting up the loom is not weaving.
Setting up the womb is not weaving. Batinirim and halacha yud zayin hansacha samasecha is the prep of weaving. They're different halachas. Sure, they're liable. Yeah, but they're different steps. Weaving is oirik. Okay. In other words, we have in the Mishnah asiyas hanirin, hansacha samasecha, and ariga. And let me just add one more thing. When you finish an entire frame, what happens if you want to connect another garment to it? In other words, you want to connect one piece to the other in a way that it's not discernible. You would have to undo the edges of one. That's the betzia. Betzia was part of making a garment because however big the frame is, comes to an end. If you want to add something to it, you would have to undo one end and you would have to connect the other end. And that's the final step in the weaving. So when you learn in the Mishnah betzia, which is taking apart a woven garment, it doesn't mean taking a garment apart. It means pasha, that's what everyone does when they're weaving, when they're connecting one shmata to the other. The first step of connecting it is undoing the edges in order to introduce the other one. So, even the mesa.
Rabbi, is none of this considered moved in the chayil?
No, this is a melacha d'oraisa because this was done in the making of the big day kohana. Yachayev chatas.
But that the final step. But what about the preparatory?
No, every step. We count every step from the making onwards, from the cutting the hair off the animal, and then the beating it, and then the every step we learned until now. Then the spinning it, and now the setting up the loom.
They're all separate
ovos. Separate ovos. The person who's beating on the threads while they are all extended lengthwise, that's called Tulis Mesach. It's enough to prepare fabric that it's two finger breadths wide. That's the minimum. When you throw the shuttle, it's in order, you have to be weaving a garment that's called a two finger breadth wide garment. And you are adding to it, it's always going to be the same shear. However, if you came to the end of the garment and you wove only one single thread, but that finished the weaving process, you're going to be chayiv. And the key here is that you're not chayiv because of makom apatish. You're chayiv because you did ariga. Like we learned before, that if a person pulls out one white hair, why are they chayiv? Because if you are the white out of the black, the white out of the red, because for you it's significant. The final thread is significant. Guys, whoever would take a look at that video, he goes through all of these Rambams with the Mishinka. A person who's straightening out all of these threads, you're making sure they're staying separated. That act is called a tulda of oirik. This is going to a person who is braiding hair in one's head. Hadeza told us oirik. That's called weaving. The braid is two finger breadths long. He's not riding the width. It's not negedu. Halacha chav, the final halacha. Betzeya shnei chutim. This is the final act in garment preparation. So betzeya again, the taicha betzeya means that you are unweaving the edge of a garment. You're going to be chayiv. Ubetzeya is the one who's mafred esoharik, and this is done to affix the next piece. Or sometimes, by the way, sometimes a strand inside this garment gets torn. So you have to see how they fix. That's how they would fix it. They would undo part of it and they would redo it. So the undoing to fix it, the undoing it to attach it, that's called boitseya. Doesn't matter how you own did it. Whether you're manipulating the warp or whether you're manipulating the woof, doesn't make a difference. But that's only if you're not doing it to stump and as a destructive act of taking the garment apart. And then you unite garments. That's, you know, if it's done with the intent of building it back up together, that's when you're chayiv. Similarly, when you're soysed as hakali, if a person is undoing a braid in the hair in order to fix it, not just to undo it, that's when you're going to be chayiv as a tulda of betzeya, and the shiurai of the hair of undoing it is kishir ha boitseya gevalik. Chavra, Perik Yud. So we already learned 20 malachas, right? Again, Perik Zayin was the Lamed Tes. Then we went through the first 10 in Perik Ches. We went through another 10 in Perik Tes. Perik Yud will have 8 malachas. As today's final chapter, Perik Yud Aleph will have another 8 malachas. That means that at the end of today's shiur, we're going to be covering already 36 malachas, only needing the final three. But there's still a lot of Hilchos Shabbos ahead of us after we go through the malachas, especially when it comes to Hoitzah, just because the Rambam has another Seder, just like a big part of Masechta Shabbos is L'melechas Hoitzah, there's going to be a big part of the Rambam Masechta Shabbos for the last malacha, which is the last one that the Rambam counted, which is the last one in the Mishnah, which is Mereshus L'reshus. But right now, the eight malachas of Perek Yud is going to be Kshira, Hatara, Tfira, Kiriya, Binyan, Stira, Makom HaPatish, and Seder. And let's begin with HaKoshen. So here's the key. The key is that in order for someone to be violating Kshira, tying a knot, Midoiraisa, two things are needed. Both are needed. Number one, it has to be made as a permanent knot. That's called the Kesha Shel Kayama. And number two, it has to be Larambam, a Maisa Uman. A Maisa Uman means it has to be a type of knot that a commoner doesn't even know how to make. So for example, when you're making a shoe, do you know that your shoe, if it's made out of leather, So there's the bottom part and they're sewed together. That type of knotting that they do to sew it together, that's something that only a shoemaker knows how to make. Then you have what we call the shoelaces. It's called the Maisa Hedyot. So just remember the rule. To be Chayv Doraisa, it has to be both a Kesha Shal Kayama and it has to be a Maisa Omen. If one of the two are missing, it's going to be Midrabanan. And if it's not Shal Kayama and a Maisa Hedyot, like tying your shoelaces, Mutayak Legamri, that's going to be a simple rule. So let's go inside. Alochal. Hakosha Kesha Shal Kayama. Whoever is tying a knot with the intent, a lot of the kayom has to do with your kavana. You intend to leave it there permanently. And only a professional expert knows how to tie it. An untrained person doesn't know how to make such knots. That is where you chayim. For example, the kesher of gemalim, the knots that are tied by camel drivers, the knots that are tied by sapanim, right, when a ship comes to anchor. So, you know, so yeah, you can just wind it or make an eight. That's called the Maisa Hedyot. But there were certain knots that they made to really to bind it. The Kishne Ditsuis Manal, the sandal Shukoshan Haratsan, and the Shasasiyasam, and all of the types of knottings that are done to your shoes or your sandals, not shoelaces, but you're doing it to make the shoe a shoe. The Chen Kol Kayoitsebuzer. Aval, however, the Rambam goes to both sides. Hakoish, the Kesher Shal Kayama, even if your intent is you're making it out to remain there permanently, but it's not called a Maisa Uman, but it's not a professional. You don't need a craftsman. You don't need an expert. Any hediot idiot can do it. But the Kesher Shein Shal Kayama, however, if you have neither of the two, not it's intended for it to be permanent, nor is it made by a Uman, then Mutal Kasher Lechatchila. Halacha Beis is explaining, not the last case where it's Mutal, but he's explaining the Kesher Shal Kayama, Shein Maisa Uman. Right, again, this is not the shoelace. This is not the shoelace. So this is a kesher shel kayama, but you know, you're walking, you don't want your shoe to fall, your shoe fell apart. So you're tying it up. That's like, well, that's a maisa hedyot. But you're going to leave it there. You're going to leave it there until when you find a craftsman. It can be for a month. You don't know how long. Or nifsek hachevel v'koshrei, any rope that tore and you tied it together. You made a stama knot. You made a double knot. That's not a maisa uman. A shakasher chevel bidili, or if you're tying a rope, not a string, something strong to a bucket, and therefore people are going to leave it there. A shakasher esen behema, or the bridle of an animal is that part that you put that directs the animal. Whoever went horseback riding, so you're tying that. Hadei ze patur. Why is it patur? It's a kesher shel kayama. That's the point, because it's not a maisa uman. Even though it's like hayam. And now that I'm right, it's also in reverse. Also in reverse, meaning that if you don't have both preconditions, it's only going to be us and the rabban. And what's the reverse? It's a kesher she'ein shel kayama. If the intent is that it should not be permanent, even though it was made by a kesher uman, it's also going to be only usher, so to say, and not a chayim. Even though it's a kesher uman, because it's ein shel kayama. Halacha 3. Woman used to wear certain types of materials that after they would put it on, they would make double knots. They would make the bottom of the right would be brought up and knotted to the left shoulder, and the bottom of the left will be knotted to the right shoulder. What's the point? The point is that such a person was able to remove her garment by only undoing one of them. And therefore, one might have thought that since one could remain, we should define that as a kesher shel kayama. And then it's going to be asur midrabanan, even though it's a maisa hedyot. We don't say that. A woman muter lachatchila to do both knots because she wouldn't leave one. She would remove both because it's easy not to make or to undo. Afa pish limsach. V'chutei sevacha afa pishu rafi. There was another type of knot that woman would put on her, by a net that she would put around her hair, that she would tie it up, and one would be able to remove that tichel without unknotting it. So again, you would think that since she's going to leave it, because you can remove the tichel and put it back on without undoing it, so it should be at least considered a kesher shel kayama, should be patur avar asur. We don't say that, because a woman would completely undo it when she removes it. It's like a tie, a great example. The Rambam doesn't speak about a tie, he's speaking so far about women's garments. Then he's going to speak about the Rambam had no tie. Fe, ashnips, v'retzua ismanel, v'sandal, shel kreshen, v'esnal aregel. Now, different type of straps that are also allowed. This is the shoelace. B'shas malbush, whenever you put it on, now you can tie your shoes. Same thing, you can remove your shoes. We always did it in the meeting in yeshiva. You don't do it every day. You remove it and then you squeeze your feet back in. Yeah, but people take it off. So we view it de facto as a kesher she'en shel kayom. And it's not a ma'isuma. Or v'noidos yayin v'shemen. You had these skins in which they would put wine or oil. Now, guys, many of these halachas, this we learned in the Gemara, are items that you make a knot on both ends. And therefore, one end, you can leave knotted. Like these skins, think about it. How do you put wine in the skin? You have to make a knot in one side and in the bottom. And to remove, to drink the wine, you only have to unknot one side. So you would think you can't make both because one of them you'll leave. We don't say it that way. Or guys, you know how the pots used to work? They would have a pot, and at the bottom of the pot, what they did over there, had a little spigot that they clogged up, and it was an optional place from where they can remove the gravy and little pieces of meat. That was here. Then they would have a cover, and then they would tie the cover closed. They would knot the cover. So again, you would think you can't tie down the cover. Why not? Because since you can leave it, why can you leave it? Because you could, the doyche, get food out from the side. All the same thing. We don't say that. We say since the halachelach, the norm is you untie the top of the pot, so you can tie it, you can untie it on Shabbos. Maisa hevyet, and not, we don't consider it shel kayamon. We got to really get moving. Okay. The question, believe in Mashiach, you are allowed to tie a bucket to a string, to a rope. We said you're not allowed to do it. Because when you put a rope on a bucket, everyone leaves it there. A string is flimsier, so you can do it. Oy ba'avnet, right? Or a belt. People would wear a belt. They didn't have the snapples, the whatever you call it, the buckles. They would tie it. No, you can't use a rope. No, chazal, a rope is something that people are going to leave. The question, listen to me, Baragla, the Shul Shulay Tate say you can tie a rope before an animal. So it should not go out. Even though it involves two knots, this is considered something that's not shel kayama. There's different ways of learning it. One way of learning it, guys, we're speaking about a little barn door. And what they would do is not the knot on the animal. The double knot here would mean, according to this understanding, is that they would tie the door closed from the top and on the bottom. And it was these flimsy doors. If you would only untie the bottom, then you can squeeze the door. Basically, it wasn't a solid door. You can open the door enough for the animal to leave. So again, the habamina is, since the top one can remain tied and the animal leaving, we should consider the top one also. Most people, when they remove the animal from that room, they untie both of them. So you're allowed to make both of these knots. That's one way of learning over here. Alpha pish lishnei isores, and one you can leave because people don't leave that one. You understand that? The chevel shayu kosher b'pare, if there's a rope already tied to the cow, and now you want to tie it the other end to the feeding trough, or it was already tied to the feeding trough and you're tying it to the cow. So again, all of these cases is, one would say it's awesome because maybe the one that you made will be the one that's going to be left. We don't say that. But what you may not do here on Shabbos is to tie in this case both ends, because you would not untie one of them. I don't know which one you would leave, but since one of them will be left, so don't do neither of them. But if the rope that you are using, even in this last case, is a rope that belongs to a weaver. Now we're going to learn in the later parakim. I think it begins in Chav Dalet, right? Chav Dalet, Chafei, Chavav, the Hilchas Muksa. In the case where the weaver's rope is not Muksa, so there's no Muksa issue. Anytime you use a rope that has another function, and that person will want his rope, that already is good. Because you can tie it to the cow and to the trough. What are you saying? You're going to leave it there? You won't leave it there. Because you want the kevel, when it's mutalatatalai, it's maybe because you're one of us. The key of all of it is maisa head, you think. Number one, anyone can make that knot. Number two, the opening of baskets, they had these leaf palm baskets and in which they would keep dates or dried figs. And when people would want to remove it, so they would undo it. Right? Matiru mafkia. V'choytech v'noytel v'oichol. Halacha dalet kol shuroi v'maychol behemom. Mutalik shuroi se b'shabes. In other words, if it's not muks, when something is edible for animals, guys, it's a double good thing. It's not muksa, and you're not going to leave it there. And it's giving examples of when people would use something that is animal food to serve as a temporary knot, a temporary rope. For example, in Mifskodos or Sandalay Bekarmelos, the person's sandals snap. This is not the shoelaces, but this is the strings that are keeping your sandals together, and temper, and it's going to fall off. And you're not allowed to carry in a Karmelos Midrabana. So Neitel Gemi Lacharei L'Machal Behemah. People would take a moist reed that if it's still moist, it's edible, and Rekoidech Olav, and they would tie it around the leg. So you have the sandal that's going up the leg. You would tie it around, and you're using a Gemi. You're using a moist reed. You're allowed to do that. Mutal Asad and Susan Vekoim Vachalei Yikshon. Okay. No, it's if a person were to knot it, they would leave it there. If it's not knotted, you're allowed to do it. It's not mukza, and it's automatically not going to be left here because you want to give it to the animals to eat. Now that Rambam paskins a bow, how do we define the bow? The way you define a bow right now. A bow is something that you can untie with one hand. Let's word it that way. So haniva, the Rambam says, is machlekes, right? Tanoim, muteres. And it's not even also midrabanan, because we don't say, if you're going to say you can make a bow, you can make a knot. No one is going to say that. Lefisha eina mislachepes bekshidah. And if you have the rope on the bucket that got cut off, what did we learn? That you can't attach a rope to a bucket because a rope is something that people leave. Fine, says the Rambam. As long as you bind it back to the bucket with a loop, that's not shalkayomo. Make a boat. Halachavo. Muta likshar kesha sheinu shalkayomo lo bar mitzvah. Kagoin. No, it's even when it's a maisa uman, that's the chiddush. If you're doing it with bar mitzvah, since it's not shalkayama, so it's only normally also midrabanan, the chachamim lechatchila never said it with bar mitzvah. Kegoin sheyikshar limdoit shir mishuri toira. There are many times that you have to measure something. Sometimes you have to measure a mikvah. How do you know memsha? How do you know has mem? Because it has to do with the oirech v'reicha, right? Ama alama b'rum shloish amas, for example. So you want to see if you have that amount of water in the mikvah. So and you're gonna so that type of rope may be knotted if you're gonna create a measuring rope. On Shabbos, Nimas Kinar Shenifsiko, or in the Holy Temple only, where they would play musical instruments. We're not speaking about putting the strings in the guitar, in the kinar, in the chveis, and the violin. We're speaking about a violin that was stringed before Shabbos, but on Shabbos it got undone. You can fix it, but not b'medina, because b'medina there's no mitzvah to play music, and the Beis Hamikdash it's part of the mitzvah. However, even though you're allowed to do it on the Beis Hamikdash, that's only if it was done and you're only fixing it. But to string it is also an next halach, next malachi is hatara. Hatara is the opposite of making a knot, is unknotting. Kol keshesh chayven ola koshroi, the dafka, the type of knot which is prohibited to make, that is the type of knot that if you undid it, you're going to be chayv chatos. Any type of knot that is only usher to make midrabanan, unknotting it is only going to be usher midrabanan. Any type of knot that you are allowed to make lechatchila, then lechatchila you can undo your shoelace. Halacha ches, hapoisel chaval benahutzim. If your person is winding together a rope from palm branches, or from love grasses, or from strands of wool, or strands of flax, strands of goat's hair, or the like. In other words, this is all considered koishet. In other words, you're making the rope. Just like we learned by a dye. You can't be tzevei or something else on the last chapter, and you can't make the dye. Making the rope, which is used to tie, is kosher. It told us kosher. V'sheyuroi, k'dei sheyamar achevel v'psilosei v'lek shiro. It's amazing, huh? Because it's not woven.
Even if your kavana is to use it for a mutter type of tying.
Correct.
So now, you can't make the rope for that.
Yeah, clear. Yaakov is spinning thread. You know, it's if it will be done bibeged, that's taka tvia. That's tvia. That's spinning. It's being made. There you go. And shenimsa malachtoi miskayemes. Now, how long does it have to be? There's no standard size. Every rope. Think about it. When you make a rope, what keeps it together? Like we said, our tzitzis. We just learned the tzitzis. Every tzitzis is made out of 8 strands, but they stay together. There's a certain small, whether it's the width or the length, that if it's that small, it's going to unravel itself as long as it stays raveled by itself. If you unwind the cords, everything is not. So if that's called koishir, so that's called matir. Told us matir, and you be chayv chatos. But again, when it comes to undoing, it's only if you're not doing it for a destructive purpose. If you stop destroying the rope, but you want to attach it to something else. And the Shayure will be the Shemshir of our place. Chavra, the new Malach of Tfira. Tfira sewing. Hatoifer state Tfira sewing two stitches. Two stitches means you're not making chayiv. But for who Shakasha Rosh Yachut and Mikan and Mikan? What are you chayiv if you only get two stitches in and out, or in and out, in and out? Okay, that's, we'll leave that open. You're going to be chayiv only if you made a little knot on both ends, because if not, it's gonna unravel itself. Now hold on. Why isn't making a knot? Now, are you chayiv for the knot? Just no, you're not, because even though it's shalkayama, but it's a maisa hedit.
The sewing is
chayiv d'oraisa. When is only two stitches? The point of two stitches is you don't want to sew and then it's going to unravel itself. So if you're doing three stitches, even if you didn't make the little knot in the beginning at the end, it's going to stay. If you only made two stitches, you're chayiv for tefillah. If you made the keshet in the beginning at the end, I'm just saying that keshet itself that I'm already paskin, it's shel kayom. When you're, what do I know? Sewing a hem.
Is this considered two different things or it's one thing?
No, separate things. So, I'm just pointing out that sometimes
when I'm sewing,
I'm chayiv for sewing two stitches. And the Rambam adds two stitches only if there's a little knot in the beginning at the end to keep the stitches together. What about that? We learned that before. It's a maisa hedyet, I'm saying. If it's a maisa hedyet, so you're going to be, it's only potter. It's only osir. It's not chayiv. Abol im prafer yosir al shtei tefilas. But if you did more than the two stitches, even though you made no knots, chayiv. Sharei miskayem es hatefilah. I don't know. When I sew my hem, even though I make stitches in the beginning and at the end, it always unravels. So maybe there's something more here. The Shabbos, what happens if you are straight, if you're stretching out? And every yeshiva bachar that made a hem, you make your hem and all of a sudden the pants in the bottom is so you can't squeeze your foot out. Because you when you make stitches, if you don't know what you're doing, you group the garment together. So the stretching it out, that's chayiv. That's considered part of sewing. Because even though the sewing was done before Shabbos, stretching it out, how much? Two stitches that had knots, or three stitches that don't have knots at the edges, you're chayiv. Right? Loch yud hakoideya, tearing. So what is tearing? When you tear the length of a garment, how long? Enough that there you can restitch it by the two tefiras. You're going to be chayiv if you tore it al menas litvoy. If not, it's mekalkal. Everything is this consistent. Avol kidei lavsoda stam, you're tearing the potter because you're mekalkal. But however, if a person is not tearing stam as a destructive act, but they're venting their anger, just to point out that the worst thing in the world is to externalize anger by breaking kalim. The Zohar says it's old kishuf was done that way because you embody your anger in something, which is why the goyim promoted so much, whether they do it with knowledge or not. But if someone did that, so when you're angry, you externalize it by manipulating Olam Hazeh, by breaking something. The only type of externalization of tzad is by kriya for a mace. That's something that's a mitzvah. But if a person is angry, that's tzad, this is anger. And if a person rips something, or al mace, shuchayiv, dayachayiv. Why are you chayiv? That's not called kilkel. You're being masakin yourself. V'yanuach yitzroi. And v'hoyil v'chamosei shechechas v'davar zeh, areik masakin v'chayiv. Now, the final halacha yud, hapeseach beis hatzavar b'shabbos, opening up, the opening of a nekes chayiv. Let me explain to you how the son of the Rambam explained what his father meant over here. Of course, he says like this, that when the minig was, when they made a garment, think about your talus cotton. So the part of the beged is that the material would be one block of garment, and then they would cut out in the middle a hole for where to put out your neck. If it's a new garment, the halach yelach, the tailor would take that round piece of material, he would sew it in back the hole, the neck opening, in a very temporary way. And that's a siman that this garment is brand new. That's what the Rambam is referring to. That when someone opens up that neck, you're going to be chayiv, which is a big chiddush. So I don't, l'choida not. L'choida, that's called ripping. We're learning about ripping. And the chiddush here is that you would think that since it was only sewn in there very temporary, it's just l'simana that it's a beged chadash. No one wore it before. It was really done very flimsily. But no, that's considered, it was sewn. They wanted it there. You bought it. You wanted it there. You want to know this is a brand new garment. And that tearing is a constructive act.
You have our jacket pockets.
Right.
That's a good example of jacket pockets.
When you buy a suit today, it has threads in the back and the front.
Exactly. There you go. Guys, check your jacket. Some good. The Hasidic guys are 40 years old, their jacket. The threads are still there. Halacha Yudal. Hamadabek Niyaris. If a person attaches papers together, or if a person attaches hides together, Bikul and Shol Soifrim, using a certain type of glue, V'chayotze B'zeh, that's a tolda of sewing on your chayiv. And therefore, in reverse, V'chayna M'farek Niyaris Devukim, Niyaris Devukim. V'loy Nischavon L'Kalka B'lvad. That's told us Kredeya. Next halacha building. Oh my goodness. Svika, we're starting today, davening 7:30. So you get ready. If a person is building any amount, chayiv. Now that Ramam says that hamash lepnei akarka b'bayis, if you're leveling out your floor in your house, whether you're hishpul tail or mile hagei, you're chayiv because of boina. Now this is in contrast to what we learned yesterday, that anything that you do outdoors is told to the chayrish. Remember that? And a chanami. Outdoors is chadisha, and in the house, the same act, filling in a hole, removing a mound, it should be leveled, it's boina. Because you're building your floor. Now, if a person, echad nasan eso evan, one person put a stone, you're building a masonry wall, and then on top of the row of bricks, they would put a layer of cement. So when is the building done? The tit, the one who put the cement. However, when do they put cement? Only until the top row. But the top row, they didn't put cement on top of it. So on the top row, the guy who laid the top brick. It's doing an incomplete act, you're not going to be chayiv for. If you build on top of kalim, you're patur. Halacha yud gimel, hois oil kavua. If you're making a permanent tent, no, tent means not brick and mortar. Something that's not brick and mortar, but it's there to remain. If you're building a earthenware utensil, right? There's a whole sugya in Shas. Yesh binyan bekelim, ein binyan bekelim. Listen to Shita Saramba. For example, you're making an oven or you're making a chavis. And this is even though you're not putting it in the kilin, but it's a keli. You're told us by nechayiv. Well, and we already learned this in Perek Aleph, this detail. The Hamagamana Sagvin, if you're making cheese, told us by nechayiv, because you're causing for the curds to join together. Since it's food, the shit is a gregetz. Hamachnis yad bakarbon techayin shalay, if you're making an axe, so you have the metal. And then you insert the metal in the opening in the wood. That's told us boina. And the Rambam says, you're chayiv. The Rambam is saying, yesh binyan bekeil. If you're inserting wood in wood, if you're using a nail, or if you're not using a nail, you know, the nekeva is very little. It fits so tight that it stays together. Told us boina v'chayiv. Halach yudal. If you have a chicken coop and there's no air coming in and out, and you can mamash chalosh in there, and you're making a little hole in that area for air and light to go in there, you chayiv because of boina. Now, I just want to make a, then you spoke about makabah patash. That's the big question. Like, l'chayra, why don't we say makabah patash to all of them? This is not just over here. Many Rishonim say that in our case, that's makabah patash, but that goes to any malach. You finish the garment. Is it oydig or is it makabah patash? I mean, that has to be defined. And we learned this a lot when we were learning the Gemara, different approaches to that. When you are putting on a door, even if the room itself is a natural room, so you have a cave, well, the building is a natural building, but you're affixing a door, that's called boin. If you're demolishing, even just a little bit chayiv, but that's only if you demolished in order to build further, but if you stam destroyed for as a destructive act, then you are putter. If you had a permanent tent that you took apart, or if you took apart like this wood that was inserted in the axe, that's told the soiser v'chayiv. But again, v'ushi is chavin l'sakim. Now, the big malacha, the next malacha is makab patish. Makab patish, literally, hamakab patish akoya achas. You're giving the final blow with the hammer in preparing a utensil. That is where you're chayiv. And now, any final step is a tulda. Even though you didn't do the gemar malacha by knocking it with the hammer, for example, if you are blowing in a glass vessel, that's the final thing that you do to give form to the glass. Or if you're making a design, even if you're making some of the design, designing the utensil was the way you finalize that utensil. Or if you're planing the edges, you're taking away its sharpness. If you're making a little hole, whether it's in wood, whether it's in a building, a hole that you need to meet. That's the final step. And you are chayv. Now, what's the definition of a hole of an opening? The definition of an opening is that it's large enough for things to go both in and out. And if it's not two ways, then ain't chayv ala siyasi. And that leads us into halacha yud zayin. Hanepes shchin b'Shabbos. A person has a blister on Shabbos and they're popping it. They're piercing it. If they're doing it k'dei l'harchiv piyamaka, they want to make the opening wide the way a doctor were to open up such a blister. Shame is chavin b'refuah l'harchiv piyamaka. Guys, I know that the refuah b'Shabbos is an isur d'rabanan. We're speaking about an isur d'oraisa. Opening up your flesh is called a pesach because it's that large that the pus can go out, that ear can go in. Now, if the im hefisa, if you pierced, if you pop the pimple, only for the pus to leave the pimple, it's not called a pesach lahachnas alohitzi. And by the way, normally that would be yasa midrabanan. It's not even asar midrabanan. If you remember that, because there's tzar, and that's the way you are removing the tzar. But makom tzar, many times the Chazal did not make any isur midrabanan. Halacha yudches. Let's go by it. Ramasates esu evan kolshul. Filing a stone. That's makom apatish. Hametzade esu evan biyisoy dabinyan. Aligning a stone. Or v'tikna biyodim shemakom adoyloi. Makom apatish. Halakech yevalosh al begodim biyodim. If a person is removing threads, straws, splinters of wood from a garment. Wow, chayv doiraisa, makom apatish. But you know what? Listen to your kavana. If it bothered you that you had that little thread sticking out of your garment and you removed it, that's called makom apatish, chayv doiraisa. But im esirim derechesek, didn't bother you, you took it absentmindedly, that's called mesasek. And it's more than just because of mesasek, as we'll see in the next clause. Hamenayr talis chadosh shehoira. Shehoira, I'm sorry, you have a new black garment. And there again, there are little white pieces of flint on it. And you're shaking it off. You're getting rid of the white. So if you're doing it kedei lino oisa, you want to make it more beautiful. Ula hasarat save halav and the way professionals do it. No, it's your kavana is to finalize the garment. The yichayv chatos. But listen to this. This is not about masase. If you don't care that there's a little bit of white stuff stuck on your garment and you get rid of it, mutter.
Can't you lint roll on Shabbos?
A what?
A lint roll.
No. Especially if you're makbid. You're using a makbid, but I'm saying sometimes a person has a little something. You go like this. Your kavan is of utmost importance. If it bothers you, which it should, you chayv chatos.
Pretty vocal on that stuff. Only if it's black and it's new, that's when you have the issue.
Could be. Okay, could be. No. Not according to the Rambam, for sure. Let's go bite. Halacha yud, guys, bite it. This is the final malach of the spedik, but we have many more halachas still to go, and we have another pedik to go as well. Halacha yud test, the final of the eighth of the spedik is seidas trapping. Now, there's one nekud about trapping, and that is, as we'll see in a moment, there are certain creatures that even after you trap them, you have to trap them again. Which means you got the deer into this enclosure. Yeah, shukoyach. Now go get the deer. Good luck. So that will have a lot to do with it. Trapping means that now it's trapped. So let's go. Hatsod davar, that's just one of the many important details. Hatsod davar shederech minay lotzadoysu. First, it has to be something that people commonly trap. We'll see what that excludes for you to be chayv doiraisa. You're chayv. For example, chayv oifes v'dagim. But for who? When are you chayv? If you trap them into a place that's called she'ena mechusar tzedah. They don't have to be trapped again. Ketzer, for example, Shadol Bachar Tzvi, you ran after a deer and until he entered a house. Or he entered a garden, or he entered a yard, and you locked the door. Or if you got a bird to go into a little migdol, a little closet. You see, a bird in the house is not called trapped. A deer, the house is then was an 8x8 room. That was the whole house. Vinol Olav, Oy Shishola Dogman Ayam, you pulled the fish out of water. And you put it inside a little bucket. Now it's called trap. That's, in all of these cases, to get it again, you need to have one thrust, one go. You don't have to go and go. But if you put, you trap the bird into your house, not into a closet. You got a fish out of the water, but you didn't put it in a bucket. You put it in a pond. But he went into a big palace. He went into an American home. any American 2x2 home, but that's already called a big palace because it's not a house that had eight tfachim, eight amas by eight amas. That was the whole house. And now you lock the door. You're not chayiv door. It's a potter. She'ez would see the gemura because if you want to get it, sorech lidav achra v'latzayis misham. And therefore, a lion. So it's really subjective. Like a lion is the most ferocious of animals. He's only trapped today if he's put in a little cage. Not even in the bais. It's a smaller enclosure than the bais for the tzvi. He has to be completely trapped there. Halachacha. Kol makim. Now, how do you define big or small? So here's the definition. She'im yarutz boy yagia chay b'shchiya achas. With one go or with one bend, with one thrust, you got it. That's called trapped. Or bechlal, if you have a building with one wall is so close to the other wall of the east and west or north and south that both of the shades, there's no place on the floor where you can see the sunlight. It's shaded completely. That's called a small place. So if you've got a deer to go into that place, you're chayiv. Any place that's bigger than that, you're potter because go get the deer. Halacha chafal. Echad shmoyne shiratzim amurim batoyrim. Again, emphasize that. Creatures that are regularly trapped, here we do not differentiate as we do b'negeya other halachas of Torah between the Shemayin and Shiratzim. When it comes to tomentado, when it comes to whether we consider their skin as leather or not, here there's no difference. Hatzad echad mikulam, if you trap them, bein l'tzarech bein shalei l'tzarech el l'sachek b'hem, want to play with them, hoyel v'neschav en latzad b'tzad, shemalach hashen tzricha l'gufam, even though you don't need the animal, you only want to play with it. I don't want to kill you. I just want to make you kosher. If what happens if you trap an animal that's sleeping or if an animal that's blind, which means it's relatively easy to catch it, still trapped is trapped. It's not called an animal that's already trapped. For this halach, if you sent out your dogs to go trap a deer or to trap a, I don't know them, zayinslach, rabbits, chayezabahem, and the deer is running away from the dog. And you're running after the deer, or if you stood in front of the deer to scare it until the dog grabbed it, in other words, you're doing it together with another creature, that's called tol de sod, and you're high because you are assisting, you are an assistant. It's not misayeya, that's enoi klum, that's called sod. What happens if a deer went on its own into a house and you locked the door? You're chayiv of chatos. In other words, trapping is the final act. Even though it was easy for me, I didn't run after it. I just closed the door. Chayiv. Two people closed the door. We learned that in Perek Aleph. Shnayim shasu pturin. But if the door is so heavy, the im ain echad yachol linol, but no shnayim chayiv. What happens? Listen to this case. One guy is sitting by the door. And it's a creature that won't leave because you're there. Your body is the door. But there's still a vacuum. Below me low. And the other person sat on the side. That's not called Shnaim Shasu. You sitting down, that's the trap. Now the house is closed. The second one is high. But if the first one sat and his body, the width of his shoulder filled up the whole exit, and the other guy sat on the side means in front of him or in back of him. On the side means that now he's in a position that if guy number one gets up, already the guy number two is there. Afal pishon rishon alachloi. Only the Rishon is chayiv, and the second one did not do anything. And the key here is because his intention was not to trap. If you close your door, l'shamrei, you're closing your door of your house without any intent. Happened to be that a deer was inside, you didn't do anything. But the key is about your intent. Again, if a bird flew under your garment, and if you don't move, the bird is already trapped there, but you didn't trap it, then you are allowed to sit there and wait until it gets dark, and then you can take the bird. Halacha chavdalid, hatsod svi zaken. If you trap an old deer, or a limp, a chiget, a limping deer, a ill deer, or a deer that is a minor, you are exempt. Why? Because they are considered as if they are already trapped. So farshlofen is not trapped. Blind is not old. Old is trapped. Don't get old. What happens if you release an animal from a trap? You're potter, which is amazing. Because by many other malachas, what did we learn? We learned like you tear, you sow, you tear, you build, you demolish, you write, you erase. By tzedah, there's no other side. If you let it go, now by the way, I want to tell you so why are you patr? It should be mutter and a hanami. It's patr because it's a mutsa issue. We'll learn about mutsa soon. If you trap something that belongs to you, they are already in your property, like ducks or chickens or doves that live in a dovecote. So since they are domesticated, you're not violating Yisr Doiraisa. Here we go. But there are certain creatures here that Adam specifies that no one traps these types of creatures, like grasshoppers or locusts, chazizin, wild bees, hornets, mosquitoes, fleas. These are not items that derech tzeda, if you did it, you're violating rabbinic law, not biblical law. And the final halacha in Perek Yud, remasim hamazikin, crawling beasts that are dangerous, like snakes and scorpions, even if they are not mortally dangerous, but they bite. Mutter lotzem oitzem b'shabes, you are allowed to trap them, as long as your intent is not because you want them, but you want to take away the danger. Yes. And now, so we had 10 in Perek Ches, 10 in Perek Tes, we had another 10 in Perek Yud. So we are up to 28 malachas. And now for today's final 8, we're going to go to Perek Yud Aleph, the final 8, not the final of the 39. We're going to learn Shechita, Havshata, Ha'avada, Mechika Sa'oid, Chituchai, Ksiva, Mechika, and Sirtut. Let's begin with Halacha Aleph. Halacha, Perek Yud Aleph has 17 halachas. It's not that large. Let's begin. Hashoichet Chayev. Slaughtering is a biblical violation. If you remove their life, whether you do it by cutting it through shechita, whether you simply rip out their pipes, that's called nechira. Whether you beat it, that's chayv. That is an av. It's not a tulda. That's the av. Shechita doesn't mean that with a knife of shechita. That's the kavana and the pu'ula, the matan and the pu'ula. Now, hachoinik es achai, strangling is already different. Strangling is a tulda. Hachai, that's tulda shoichet. And therefore, since strangling is a tulda shoichet, removing the fish from the water, what happens to the fish? You didn't knock it, you strangled it. If you take a fish out of a bucket, he's saying that because he doesn't want to go into the trapping. If it was already trapped, but then taking it out, you're chayiv for shechita. If you went into the lake and you took it out of the lake, then you're chayiv for trapping and you're chayiv for shechita. You're chayiv for choynik. Choynik is tulda of shechita. And then the Rambam adds by a fish, and you don't have to wait for the fish to die for the person to be chayiv choynik. No, the moment the area in between the fins of the fish becomes dry, how large the area, the size of a selam, that means the fish will never live again. And that's why you're chayiv for chayim. Similarly, if God forbid, if a person puts his hands inside the animal's womb and the person shook, just moved the fetus, that's called killing the fetus. It's not shechita. It's not called hakah, but it's called chanika. Halacha beis. Ramasim, here's the famous halacha regarding creatures that are produced through sexual reproduction versus what halacha calls spontaneous regeneration, and there is such a concept in halacha. And let's go read the halachas over here. Insects, worms that came into the world because of a union between a male and female, or in heaven, or they come into being from the dust. Interesting, as a new category. Then your chayiv, killing them is chayiv. That's called a bona fide creature. Doesn't matter that for the Melechas HaMishkan, they killed the big animals. You're killing a little insect if it came from a mama metatata. But Abol, Remosim Shaviyosim Nagololim, creatures that come to being from golol, from excrement, or from dried out fruits, like the worms you find in meat, or the worms that you find inside legumes. This is halachically creatures that we consider them to be spontaneously generated. They're not called living beings like the animal, and killing them on Shabbos is only midrabanan patur halacha gimel. Hamefale kelev b'Shabbos. You're checking your clothes for lice. You are allowed to do that. Moil lakenem and v'zarkam. You can take them out. Umutal laharik es akenem b'Shabbos. because again, we consider these lice that are in garments not creatures that came from a male and a female union. They only are created from sweat. Now, again, we said before that patur, when there's no tzar, having lice in your garments generates tzar. So many times, Chazal did not make rabbinic laws to prevent people from being in pain. Halacha dal, chayev anemes, sheim lo yishkrim amesim badai. Creatures that, if they bite, they'll kill. So we had at the end of the last Pedic about trapping them. Now we're going to learn something similar, like zavuv shebemitzrayim. There's a certain Egyptian fly. They are venomous to kill. Or tzira shebeninbe, the hornets of Ninbe, or the type of scorpion in Chadayev, or snakes in the Holy Land, or a kel of shoita, an animal with rabies, no matter where. Muta lahargam b'shabbos, when you see them, kill them. Not, if they're chasing me, I'll kill them. Don't wait for them to chase you. Which other creatures that are dangerous, but they're not amenants, they're not going after you, and a chanami, then you can't do anything. Imrat some achrav muta lahargam. Now, if that's the case, when I'm walking, do I have to be in Miami? This happens a lot. There's cockroaches all over the place, not in LA. So when you're walking, I remember in yeshiva, sometimes you're putting your foot down and you're stepping into a whole pool of them. I'm allowed to kill them. Any insect that is a baby from a father and a mother, there's a whole mishmen, there's grandparents, there's the uncle, there's a whole thing over there. So you chayv chatas. So do I have to be careful? You don't have to be careful when you walk.
Just
koyf it. That's for trapping. Right. Now, can I kill it?
I'll say trap.
So I'm saying that. In other words, if it's an animal that if it will get out of the trap, it's going to kill people. I should kill it, not trap it. Mutav shav nachashim haroi.
Bees trying to sting you.
You want to kill it. But you have to wait for the bee to come and sting you. But if it's an Egyptian bee, the Egyptians you kill right away. Depends, you have to know the bees. What was the new bee they said? They found a bee over here. They say, who knows what? It came with COVID. It was a bee that came here to America. The African bee to scare everyone. The im darsel fi tumay. Now, if you're walking and you stepped in it, b'shasi luch v'harogen muter, you walk in a normal fashion. That's because the Raman Paskin, by Dovash Enes Chavin, if it's not Psikresha, that, like Rab Shimon, you don't have to look, just walk. Halacha, walk until you step on top of the beast, and then they'll show you. All right, halacha, hey, hamafshit minor, denu. Now we're going to go into hafshata. So if you skin even a portion of the animal's hide, how much of it? Large enough to ride a amulet, chayev, which is the next one. Right, ha'avada, you're processing a portion of the hide. How big enough to make a kameya? You're going to be chayiv. The echad ha'ma'avid, the echad ha'moilech, all different steps in the processing of the hide system. Sha'amalicha, even salting it. Salting it is part of ha'avada. But there's no such a thing. You can't salt something and say you're going to be chayiv for processing it. That's only done to leaven. The next malach is called smoothing. How much are you smoothing? Enough to write a kamea on it. You're chayiv. What's included in smoothing? That's removing the hair or the wool from on top of the skin after it died. Or making it completely smooth. So really there's geziza that we learned in the previous chapter, two chapters ago, and shearing. And now there's another step that you do to completely smooth it out. Halach above. We learned in Nochas Tefillin that every hide is really two layers. And if you want, you can split it in half. The upper layer and the lower layer. The lower layer is called Duchsustus. So if you took off the Duchsustus from the top layer, that's told as Mafshid. You understand? Even though Mafshid, the literal Mafshid is taking it off the flesh of the animal. Separating the hide is told as Mafshid. Hadoyis al Arba Agloi, Achi Iskasha, if you're treading upon a hide to make it hard, if you're squeezing it in your hand, you're doing all the steps that are needed, that are done by people who make straps. That's told us. If you pull a feather from the wing of a fowl, so when you pull the whole wing off the bird, we learned before, that's goizes. Here, you're pulling out a feather from the wing, you're smoothing it out.
Already separated wing?
A dead animal, yeah. Here we're going, spreading ointments, or shiva, you're spreading a beeswax or tar, or any other thing that that is being spread in order to make soft. Midvaram hamis marchim at sheyachlik panim chaimishum moichik. Even if you're just using your hands, you're rubbing a hide. And the way they would take a hide, they would put it on two posts, so they would stretch it out, and then with their hands, they would rub it out. That is also part of moichik. You're smoothing out leather. Halacha zayin. The next one. Hamachateich min ha'oid. If you are cutting a portion of the hide, how big, large enough to write an amulet, chayev. But when is cutting chayev? If the exact size of what you're cutting is done with intent, the yachlech mechavana shimolach, avlam chatek lerech. If you just tore something to destroy it, or even if you didn't do it to destroy it, but you didn't care for the size, elke mesasek or kemesachek aris apot. Hakoymet as hakonof, person who trims down the wing of a fowl. In other words, the tips are very pointy, and you're trimming it down. It shouldn't be so sharp. So that's called told us mechatech, because you have a kavana with that. It's not exactly for the arkoi. It's not that you need to have a feather with that size. So I don't want to have 5 inches. I want to have 4 inches. It's that you don't want it to be sharp. That's called kavana. The chen hamegarei drashik munosleishal edis. If you have cedar beams and the edges are pointy and it's too pointy and you're smoothing it down, again, even though it's not, you don't need exactly that measurement, but you're doing it with that type of kavana. You don't want it to be sharp. That's chay b'shumachat. V'chein kol chaticha sheyachlif chadash. Any type of carpenter's planing of wood. Eitz v'no eitz. Chadash matachas v'no matachas. Chay b'shumachat. Hanoytel kesem v'no eitz v'lofanov. The person has in front of them a big piece of wood and they want a toothpick. So in those days, what was a toothpick? You push it. You went over to the beam in your house and you took out a piece of wood that was perfect for your toothpick. That's also chayiv. Or if you want to open up a door, and that's a lock. That was a safety. Any piece of wood you put in there, it opens it up. I don't need it to be 3 inches. It's about that this. I wanted that size. I did it too fat would be not too skinny wouldn't be good. So that's called I wanted that chair. Halachiches. Kol avashuroi l'machal behema. Anything that's edible for animals, like tevin, basav, lach, butz, v'geitz, v'hem, you are allowed to cut them or to trim them on Shabbos. Epnei she'ein behem tikun kelim. That's a good cloud. There's no tikkun keli when you're making food. If not, how can you prepare food? Makabapatish, right? You make these beautiful platters. There's no tikkun keli. Umutar liktoim atzi b'sonu l'rech. But more than that, you are allowed to break. You know when you have a good smelling branch, but it's dry. If you want to smell it, you break it. So that's not called you want to shear. You don't want to size. You just want to, you want to get some moisture. That's allowed. Even though they're kashim b'yavashim, so it's significant your break, but you're not aiming to get a specific shear, unlike the toothpick. U'mefasheach mehen kol sheyitzeh. Also, if you have a piece of wood that has bark on it and you want to remove the bark, you're allowed to do that. Or removing dry leaves, you're allowed to do all these things. You understand? Because you're not cutting wanting a shear. Even though you want to have the fragrance that you're going to bring out when you remove a certain part of the tree. Halacha test. Now we're going on to the next halacha of writing. Writing two characters. That's the key. Two characters, chayiv. In order to write in its place, to oisius chayiv. What happens if you write one large letter, big aleph, and it's large enough that a normal, you would write two oisius in that location, your potter, you didn't write two. But if you erased one large letter, and in its place, you can write two letters. You're going to be chayiv. Like we learned by, again, the plucking of the white hair. If the one letter finished the whole book, one letter was significant. The Rebbe spoke about that this is the end of Golos. Because now every single maisa that we do, is we're finishing the book. So it's, everything is extremely significant. Beautiful. If you're writing simply because you want to ruin, I don't want anyone to use this this beautiful paper. I'm going to be chayiv. There is a kilkul intent. Yeah, there's a kilkul intent regarding the oir. She'en chiyuv, if the chiyuv is because of the location where I'm writing, since I wanted to ruin that paper, it's an act of kilkul. But I'm being chayiv for writing. I wrote. She'en chiyuv, and I wrote. But if I erase, but my intent is not to write on that location, here you're going to be potter. It has to be a constructive act of erasing. If ink fell on a book, ink fell on a page, and you simply erase the ink, or nafal shayv al gabei hapinchas amachreisa, you erase the wax, same idea. You are erasing in order to be able to write in that location two letters or more. That's a constructive act of erasing. I need to be chayv. Halacha yud, akreisiv is kful pamayim. If you write two letters, double letter has to have a meaning. But v'hu shem echad, but it forms a word, whether it's sadad or whether it's dad or teis or gog, chayiv. No, it's tam two letters that don't have a meaning. You're not chayiv. It has to be a word. And that goes to any language, that goes in any type of characters. Aleph, Beis, Lahavdol, A, B, C, Chai, Afilu, Mishnei, Simanius. Now, one of the meanings of Shnei Simanius is Rashi Tevis. You know, it doesn't have a meaning, but you wrote it as a abbreviation, and the abbreviation makes sense. So it's two characters that form something. If I wrote one letter, but I wrote it next to a previously written letter, now I form the word. Now, guys, what we learned before is when I finish a sefer, I'm not finishing a sefer, but I'm completing a word. Or if I'm writing on top of something that was written, and I want to write the letter ches. How do you write a ches? So what really happens is a machloikas. So we follow that Arizal that says a ches is a vav and a zayin. Right, the vav is a man, the zayin is a woman, and the ches is the chuppah. But according to the Rambam, a ches is two zayins. With the chatoy teres, with the hunchback on top. I don't know if you know how it looks in the Sefer Torah. So a ches is really a composite of two letters. You want to write a ches. You wrote a zayin and a zayin, and you didn't make the hunchback. So is it two letters or is it one letter? Hey, kol ka yotze b'zem shara oisyes, or hakoyse v'yisachas v'adas v'yisachas v'akoyda, one letter you wrote on the floor, one letter you wrote on the beam. You cannot read them together. You can't even bring them together. You can't take the beam and take it off and put it near the floor. Oisher kosam shtei goyses v'shnei dapi pinkos. If you have a ledger, you have a notebook, and you write one letter, guys, have one on Amad Aleph and one letter on Amad Beis. I'm emphasizing that because if you write a letter on page one and another letter on page two, if you can bring the two pages together, you'll be chayiv. But here it's on different sides, you're potter. But if you wrote them on two corners of a wall of the house or on two separate pages, since you can put them together, they can be read together and you're chayiv. More than that, halacha yud beis, lakach gevil kayyotze, but you take a blank piece of parchment and you're writing it one letter in one city on Shabbos. And you went on the same Shabbos and you went to another city and you wrote over there another letter. So you're not going to bring them together, but you can bring them together. You don't have to break anything or rip anything to bring them together. You're still going to be chayiv because shebizman shemekorva nehegin zemzeh. Unlike when you put a letter on the ceiling, one letter on the floor, yeah, you can put it together if you break the building apart. But if you don't have to do anything other than bringing it together, you're going to be chayv. Halacha yud gimel. Koisev v'isachas, if you wrote one letter, even if people know that this one letter means a word. For example, it was common that whenever a person had money or food of ma'aser sheni that they were waiting to take to Yerushalayim, how do you make sure no one takes it erroneously? They would write on the pekala just a mem. Many times, bezman ha-mais, a mem means meiser sheni. So you would argue, since this letter means meiser, maybe you'll be chayiv. No, you're not. Hakol ker meiser, or you wrote mem because there are 40 coins in a pekala. Whatever, you know, you're using a letter as a number. Shadei hikmik shekosev arboyim, still you're not chayiv doiraisa, patel. If you took one letter and you made it into two, like the example, you took off the chatoy teres hunchback roof, which was on top of the ches, and now you made two zayins. Ah, here you chayiv. If you wrote with your left hand, or if you wrote it, la'achriyah means you wrote it in your right hand, but you put your hands upside down, or you wrote things with your foot, or if you wrote something with, you put the pen in your mouth, or you put it in your elbow, you're potter. It's called sholei kedarkei. Iter, but if a person who's a lefty who wrote with his right hand, it also potter. But if a lefty wrote with his left hand, for him it's kedarko yechay. Hashoylo b'shtei yodav b'shava. What's the word in English? Ambidextrous?
Yes.
Wow. All right. You know how to write with both of your hands? So no matter which hand you wrote, you're going to be chayiv. Aaron Glazer is waiting for Danny Fishman to make a comment, but garnished. Nothing yet. Okay, bite it. Koten oiches be'kulmas v'gadol oiches b'yodav b'koysev. Guys, what's happening over here is there's two people. One is holding, one is moving the pen. You're not chayiv for holding the pen. So if one person is just holding it and the other one is causing the movement to happen, the mover is chayiv. And even though the katan, so even though it's a minor, it's not about the holder, it's about the mover. The mover is an adult. But in the reverse, if the adult is holding onto the pen and the minor is moving it, so who's chayiv? The mover. The mover is a minor. The minor is a pater. Pater means, in other words, the gadol should not have been there. But he's not chayiv d'orais. Alachat as well. Ein hakoisim chayiv achiyich d'vodav al-reishon bo'emi. Writing is only if it's going to remain permanent, like if you're using giyoi, which is ink, or shachar, black tint, or sikra, or red. And number two, you're writing on something in which it will the writing will remain. Like if you write it on skin, if you write it on parchment, if you write it on paper, you write it on wood, and the like. But if either of these are missing, like you're using mepeis, right? It's called invisible ink. But even if you're using proper ink, but you're putting it on a leaf, you're writing on a piece of lettuce, it won't remain. You're not chayv d'oraisa, it's a potter. Ein chayv ad sheyichtav davar ha'emet al davar ha'emet. V'chein ein ha'moichik chayv ad sheyimchay ksav ha'emet me'al davar ha'emet. Halacha tazayin, hakoysev al b'sari. Now you would think, when you write on your body, because of the sweat, it won't remain permanent. But that's called davar ha'emet. Because the sweat is an external thing. We say that, no. Your skin, because it's oil. It's like writing on hide. Even though because of the schwitz, the sweat, the heat will remove the ink, doesn't matter. That's something external. That's like writing and then it got erased later. However, if you scratch your skin, that's what, you know why pater? Because it heals. It's amazing. So the healing means it's not permanent. Okay. What happens if you rip in hide the form of a letter? Again, it has to be two ices. Haroishim means not scratching. Haroishim means you make an impression. You put a lot of pressure. When you make an impression, even if on a dead hide, with time, the impression will remove itself. So therefore, you're part of it. Final halacha yudzayin roishen designing. That's a good kasha, guys. Everything is about writing. What happens if you make a painting? What's amazing is if you remember, we learned just about tzviya. We'll see how this doesn't match tzviya. Can be treveya, but this is called a tulda of ksav. Roishen making a design is a tulda of ksav. For example, haroishen rishonim mitzuras ba'koisel u'bashasha b'chayoytzev bahen. So many of the Achrayim explain in the Rambam, when people would make drawings, you know what they would do? First, they would make like the outline, and then they would paint it in. The second step is taketzivia, painting. But making that design, that's called kaisev. The final malach of today's Pedic, which is the middle of the final halacha, if you make a line, it's called you rule a piece of paper, either by making a line, like a noted pad with lines, or like they do in the Sefer Stam, that you make an indented engravement. But you're making lines, that's called sirtut. Sirtut, k'day lichtav, shtey oisiz, kachas oisiz, sirtut chayim. Chorashe yo eitzim, carpenters who draw a red line on top of the beam to know exactly where they need to sew, that's a tulda of mesaret. Amazing. V'chein hagabolim. They do the same thing. Masons do it on stone. They want to chisel it out. So they make first a line to see where they're going to chisel it out. Kedei sheifas alev mishaber yechayiv. Now the echad hamisarid, whether you're using a paint, a pencil, whether you're doing it without paint, you're making the line the way you do it in the Sefer Torah. You're making a little indentation. Equally, you're chayiv. Gevaldik, okay. Chaver Mazel Tov.
What's that?
Sirtut. Sirtut. To be continued.
Go ahead. Making a line.